So my prayer this morning is that you will hear from Jesus Christ. Do you think that's what happens when you come to church? Alistair's going to give a talk this morning. That's not what happens when you come to church. When you come to church, if the preacher is relying on the words of God, then it's God that's speaking to you. And I've prayed that you wouldn't focus on me this morning, but you would focus on Christ. It says an amazing thing in this passage that the one who was a persecutor, the one who was totally against the church, totally against Christians, he was arresting them, he was seeking to have them killed. The same person is now saying, God speaks through me. Christ speaks through me. Christ, the one who spoke to me on the Damascus Road and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? That same Jesus Christ speaks through me. And I'm giving Christ's appeal to you today. Be reconciled to God. The Christ is appealing to you. Come to me. It's not just a talk. Yeah, if I start going off on a tangent and start telling funny, clever stories, then yeah, it's just a talk. But if I'm pointing to the very words of God, which is saying, be reconciled to me, then that's not Alistair speaking to you. That's God that's speaking to you. And is there anything more important than that? Is there anything greater than that, that God would take the time to speak into your heart this morning and say, I love you, I died for you, why do you keep hiding from me? Why don't you come to me? This passage is following on from the verse for the year passage. We have this treasure in jars of clay. The treasure of the gospel, the treasure of the grace of God, which is in each one of us as we go out this week as Christians to represent him, to be his ambassadors. Did you know that that is the very essence of your identity? Last week we spoke about the identity crisis caused in our world by an atheistic worldview, by a confusion. So wonderful this morning to praise God together. I don't want you to come to church every week and just hear words. I want you to come to praise God. That's why we come to church. And when we praise God, something happens. It says in Psalm 8 that even the praises of infants and children, it says, I have ordained praise in infants and children to silence the foe and the avenger. Even as we were singing this morning, walker, 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 walker in the light, and there was child down the front doing this. And a If you're not from the church, that was a holiday club maneuver. It says in Psalm 8 that God has ordained praise in infants and children to silence the atheist babble. How do we maintain a true identity in a world that's telling us nonsense about who we are? And the most important thing we can do is to be reconciled to God if we're not a Christian. And if we are a Christian, the most important thing we can do is to praise Him. For as we praise Him, we connect with the truth of who He is, and He feeds our hearts, and the atheist babble is silenced. Psalm 8, verse 2. But what this passage is telling us is that a great restoration has happened. Last week we looked at Adam and Eve and how we were made in the image of God, we were known by God, we were children of God, but we lost it. You say, well, I didn't lose it. I wasn't there. Not my fault. Don't tell me it was me that lost it. But that's because we live in a very individualistic society. Ancient cultures and other cultures around the world are quite happy to see themselves connected with the past. And particularly our first human parents. They lost it, and we've all lost it. We've lost our identity. We're no longer children of God. We now have a fallen nature. We have a bent towards selfishness. Our hearts turn in on themselves rather than turning outward to God and to other people. We're curved in on ourselves. But Christ came to restore us. And we see in verse 15 an amazing sentence that He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Somebody asked me this week, why did Jesus die? I've not got there yet, Alistair. Is that something that happens? Does it just take a long time to understand why Jesus died? And I said, pray for God to show you why Jesus died. And here, a few hours later, I was reading this verse that Christ died that we should live no longer for ourselves, but for Him who died for me, for you. We're no longer curved in on ourselves, but we're curved outwards to God. That's why He died. I could give you many different passages to explain why Jesus died, but this verse gets to the real heart of it by saying He died to restore us to our original condition, which is to live for God and to live for others. To praise God and to represent God in our everyday life. What does it mean to image God? We're made in the image of God. Well, we see that the images in these ancient cultures like Egypt, you have the image of Pharaoh, and the image is giving glory to the Pharaoh. The image of God is about giving glory glory to our Maker. That's what it means. And perhaps you're thinking, well, why does God need to be glorified? Why does God need to be praised? Is there some kind of megalomania going on there in the character of God? Why does he need all this praise? In Isaiah 43, he says, I created you for my glory. But the Apostle Paul understands, because he says in Philippians chapter 1, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, for me, I get so much satisfaction from living for God. So much joy because I was made for God's glory. I was made for relationship with Him. And as one preacher said, he says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. So the reason why God asks us to live for His glory is because that is the best thing He could give us. To live for Him and for others. We see this in our Lord Jesus Christ, who perfectly imaged God. He's in Hebrews 1, it says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. He is the image of the invisible God. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. Did Jesus live for himself, or did he live for the Father? I think you know the answer to that. He said, I only live to please the Father. He did not consider his own interest, but the interest of others. He became nothing. He made himself a servant, a slave. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but yours be done. Even as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that God would be glorified and that God would glorify him. This is where we need to look to understand what it means to be a human being. Because Jesus is the perfect human being. And he shows us this principle that we are not to live for ourselves, but to live for God. And he died that we would be conformed to him. I preached a sermon in August from Joseph, and I said, God meant it for good. And I said, this is a big topic for an all-age service. I'll come back in 2 weeks' time and preach on it. And I'm not going to give you a whole sermon, but what is the good that God is promising us? We know from Romans 8 that, for we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. What is the good? The good from verse 29 of that chapter, the next verse, is that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. I'll say that again. What is the good that God promises us in all things? The good is that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. That the greatest thing that God can do for us on any day, in any trial, in any circumstance, the greatest thing that he could do for us is that we become more like Jesus Christ. We do not live for ourselves, but for him. Now, we perhaps know the songs very well. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground. We love it. We sing it. One of our favorite songs. But do we know the reality of that song? Do we know the truth in our experience? Do we know joy even through pain? Do we know joy through rainbows in the rain? Do we know peace in uncertain times? Do we know that Christ has a hold of us and he will not let us go? And that is why it is so good. To live for him. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what the apostle said. It is better by far to depart from this body and to be with him. There is nothing greater. As much as this life is full of many, many blessings, but to be with him, that is my longing. That is my desire above all other desires. Adam and Eve's desires were distorted, and they wanted to get as far away as possible from God. And when we are restored in Christ, we just want to be with him. Face to face one day, but even today, he invites us to come to him. All ye who are weak and heavy laden, full of cares. He says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Is there anything simpler? So it's that restoration. And now I'm speaking to those who don't know Jesus. Perhaps you're trying to work it all out. Why did Jesus die? Is it worth it? I would love to have what you have, but I'm not there yet. Well, the good news is that it's not by your power alone that you will come. There's a much greater power behind your coming. The day I turned to Christ and put my faith in him, as a 21-year-old man, he'd been speaking to me for years. He was at work in me long before I thought of him. It says here that if anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. This is not just a tinkering at the edges. This is not a little bit more moral than we were yesterday. No longer swearing, no longer smoking. No, no, no. This is a complete revolution. This is a new heart and a new mind It's a complete change. And how do we know if that's happened to us? Because not all of us have. In fact, probably 99% of us don't have dramatic conversion stories. So how do we know if this great, powerful new creation has happened to us? Ask yourself the question, do you cry out to God? Do you say, you're my Father, Abba Father, Abba Father, yours and yours alone. Abba Father, let me be yours and yours alone. Let my will forever be evermore your own. Never let my heart grow cold. Never let me go. Abba Father, let me be yours and yours alone. Now you may not pray that prayer exactly, but is that the longing of your heart? That you know that you belong to Jesus Christ. That's how you know if this has happened to you. The how you got there is not really important, because we all come in different ways. But the important thing is, if a train is leaving Paris and it's going to Germany, the important thing is that you know you're in Germany now, rather than when you cross the border. And you know that you're in Christ if your heart's cry is Abba Father, Jesus, my Savior. Not the Savior. Yes, the Savior, but also my Savior. Is he your Savior? He died that you may live no longer for yourself, but for him. In the previous chapter, it says that God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ. The same God who spoke out life at creation speaks into our hearts. Unconsciously, we may not be aware it's happening. But what is our conscious awareness of this process? Our conscious awareness of this process is hearing the good news about Jesus. We see that in verse 21, that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to take all our sins upon himself on the cross, that we may be forgiven, that we may be no longer under condemnation, that we may be in relationship with the Holy God, because all our sins are forgiven, because we believe that Jesus did that for us, and we repent of our sins, and we put our trust in Jesus. There is no benefit. You will waste many anxious days by trying to work out, did God call me or not? That is a waste of time, because you'll never know. But one thing's for sure, that God does not want anybody to perish. Doesn't want anybody to be lost, but he wants everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. And therefore, you should assume that God is saving you in this gospel. And if you accept this gospel, you are saved. Let's simplify it. Let's not make it too complicated. That is why I'm appealing to you today, that Christ is addressing you personally, and he's saying, come to me. I died for you. Why wouldn't you want to come? What's stopping you from coming? What reasons are going through your mind why you would not want to come? And if you're a Christian, what's stopping you from coming to him in praise and prayer and honest recommitment today? What's stopping us? Don't let the devil snatch the seed. Because time's going slower this morning. I don't know why that is. I'm just looking at the clock. And there's still 5 minutes left. Why is time going slower this morning? Maybe God doesn't want you to miss the opportunity. Let's read again. This transformed life, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Even better than that, he makes us righteous. Not guilty. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That was Alistair shouting. I believe God is probably speaking very tenderly in this moment. I just didn't want you to miss it. He's speaking very tenderly because he knows everything about you. He knows how confused you are. He knows how stressed you are. He knows how lost you are. He knows how much you have relied on your own strength. And he's been just saying, why does this person not come to me for help? I could help them so much, but they just want to do it all by themselves. Trying to live this life. He says, I've come that you may have life to the full. I came for you. Will you come to me today? He doesn't say, I just wonder if you would think about it and maybe come back next week and let me know your thoughts. No, he says, I implore you. I plead with you. Be reconciled to God. He's begging. And he's saying, if God did it for me, I was the worst of the worst. And God did it for me. He will certainly do it for you. He will turn no one away. So we will turn to him now and pray. Let's pray. In the time of my favor, I heard you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I thank you, Lord, that because you are calling people today to yourself, and you're calling people back to you, I thank you that you are the one who is in charge in this moment, that I am just a vessel through which this message is coming. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you came to restore us. We thank you that you put our interest above your own, that you put obedience to God, the Father, before your own comfort. We thank you that you did it. You accomplished on the cross the salvation of the world, that all who put their trust in you can come to you today. So we come to you today. We come humbly, asking for forgiveness, for hiding, for procrastinating, for putting other things in your place, for trusting in our own understanding rather than trusting in your word. Forgive us, Lord. And now that you have forgiven us, help us to live in the joy of forgiveness, in the joy of sins covered. No more looking back, no regrets. I come to you today, thanking you for dying for me, thanking you for transforming my selfish heart. Help me to live for you. Help me to live for others. And I pray now, Lord, that you would receive us according to your word. Receive us. Receive us, Lord. We receive you, your grace. Would you receive us according to your promise? So come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Talk to him now in your own words, in your own honest way, that you may be fully restored. I thank you for those who are coming back to you now. I thank you for those who are coming to you for the first time. And I thank you that it is by your power that they are saved. I thank you that it's by your power that they are restored. And I pray for your new life to flood their whole being, body, mind, heart, emotions, spirit, prayer life. I pray for confidence in who we are, security, significance, strength. Thank you, Father, that you have made this possible. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit, which guarantees your presence today and your inheritance after death. Thank you for the unshakable truth of the gospel on which we stand. And help us as your ambassadors this week, knowing that Christ is in us. I'm going to say it with my own words, and I want you to say it with your words, with your own name. Christ is in Alistair, and Alistair is in Christ. And in the silence of your heart, you say these words and put your own name in. Christ is in. And you are in Christ, and you are his ambassador. And may you make that appeal gently, tenderly, respectfully this week to everyone that we meet. Be reconciled to God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.